Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America. Good afternoon, United Kingdom. We are just under 24 hours away from the first NFL London game this year. Oakland Raiders are giving up a home game to come over to London, playing the Seattle Seahawks. Not the best of games, but we'll take it. And a very, very good season coming up with a few more. So just excited about that. Start the show. I'm gonna get the main man in here straight away. TP Tyrone Powell. Good morning, my friend. How are you feeling this morning?
I took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped inside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. The call in number is 929-477-2759. I got my brothers here. I got both of them. I got to say big brothers, even though I'm the bigger brother, but they're older than me, so I guess I get to see my older brothers here with me. And we get to dive into the kitchen best as possible. I'm good.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And, like you said, it's good for me to be doing this right now. And with the game in London, I think we've started this morning, this afternoon in the UK. Just the Oakland Raiders in general, I'm just thinking to myself, what's happening with our franchise? I mean, I've been to Oakland a few times. The fan base is there, the dark hole, and, you know, people dressing up better than any other fan base, I say. I think there's a lot of disappointed and angry fans in Oakland right now. And I don't know what the future's looking like for them. They're giving up a home game to play in London, which is great for the UK market, great for business, for the Davis family and for Gruden. But where does that leave the fans, Ty? If you was an Oakland Raiders fan, you know, what would your opinion be on this? Are you happy that the franchise is going to Vegas? What do you think about that? And just your thoughts on in general about the franchise.
Well, hold on, we got Vinny here. We got Vinny with us. Vinny, good morning, Ben. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Can you hear me?
Hey, Ben.
We got you.
I'm doing great. I'm doing very good. I am a little tired, but a little excited and happy to be on the air on the podcast with you guys, doing the show here.
Yeah, the time difference is vast between us all. It's like 8 hours difference between me and Vane and 5 between me and Ty. So, yeah.
I
was just talking about the Oakland Raiders, Vane, and you know, just the feelings the fans must have given up a home game. Talk of going to San Diego, with the future looking bright, going to Las Vegas. If you was a fan of that team, how would you feel about it? Where do you see the Oakland Raiders going?
That's the hardest thing about moving as a team. You really hurt the fans, the community. And Oakland, now this is the second time they've done it, or maybe the third time. They were in LA for a little bit, and now they came up here, and now they're leaving again. It's almost, I don't know. They do it for the money. If you're a fan, you're upset. You get behind your team. You dress up. You go to the games. Oakland fans are. I feel like Oakland fans are the 49er fans that are the ones that just didn't want to be 49er fans and don't like the 49ers. And when Oakland got out here, they were really happy. And I don't know if a lot of them are going to travel to Las Vegas with them. It's a sad situation, really, because communities really get behind their team. You saw the same thing happen so many times, specifically comes to football, basketball with Seattle. And certain cities deserve a team. The Bay Area has the 49ers, so that's okay. I mean, I feel like they have one team. I say Vegas deserves a team as well, so that's good for Vegas. But as for a fan, you're hurt. You don't like it.
One thing that always fascinated me, Ty, and I wondered if they'd ever have a team in Las Vegas, given the temptations off the field, you know, and these young athletes coming there. Do you think that'll be a problem, Ty? And what's your thoughts, bro?
young athletes coming to what, the Raiders, or just
yeah.
just to Las Vegas,
you know, with the lifestyle there, the distractions off the field. Do you think?
And it's crazy because I get to tie in like the sports that are going on there now with, you know, the WNBA. They have the, I think it was the Silver Stars from San Antonio. They moved to Vegas, so they have a basketball team there now. And the Vegas Golden Knights, they're out there, and they just got to the doggone Stanley Cup. And I truly think, I mean, they're off to a bad start this season right now. They have one win and four losses, so they're off to a bad start. But I truly think last year they used that to their advantage, especially with everything that went on with the shooting. God rest the soul of everybody that took place last year, this month, or October 1st. It's crazy that it's been a full year. 58 people getting murdered outside of the doggone Mandalay Bay. And I think they just used that as best as possible with the Vegas Strong. In respect to what Vinny said, he doesn't think that they'll travel. I was out in Vegas last year, and they are building up like wildfire to prepare for this. Like, they're putting condos and houses everywhere. You don't even really look at it as like being a desert or valley anymore. It's like they're building like it's an up-and-coming city, and it, you know, Vegas is losing its luster of being that soul city of lights how it used to be. Now it's more or less turning into a growing up-and-coming city outside of, you know, the lights of Vegas. But with the sports inclined to this situation, without a doubt, because everybody's above 18. When you're above 18, you're going to want to do adult things, especially if they're above 21, then they can go gamble, they can drink, and do everything crazy out there. So it's in line to throw people off in the sporting world. Like I said, with the Vegas Knights last year and their run, it worked out to their advantage. Nobody could really come into Vegas and win up against them. So I can just imagine the Raiders in a year or two's time and the support that they'll be given and how they're trying to take it. But we'll see. But the way that they're playing now, Gruden has a lot of holes to fix, let alone the quarterback is in question in Derek Carr.
Yeah, wow. And another interesting thing about the game tomorrow is the Marshawn Lynch factor. I know you guys remember the Super Bowl when he was, you know, 2 yards out and Pete Carroll decided not to give him the ball. For me, that's where the problem started for the Seattle Seahawks. And return for him against Pete Carroll tomorrow. You expecting him to go off, guys? You expecting him to have a big game tomorrow and be the catalyst in the game? Tyus, go back to you.
I would think so, and I think he would take it more personal than anything to try and play the full game. If anybody's watched the Raiders games, after halftime, Marshawn doesn't play that much. Like, his carries are limited. So it's interesting. In the last game that they played against the Chargers, the same thing happened again. They were at the one-yard line. Gruden chose to pass the ball. Derek Carr throws an interception in the end zone. And Marshawn Lynch came out with a tweet and said, if it happened to me on the biggest stage, it's going to happen to me in the regular season. So I would hope that he would go off and make it an interesting game. But it depends on how him and Gruden – I think him and Gruden might have a situation going on. I think there might be smoke there.
Yeah. And we know that, you almost picked that Seattle game last week. And Seattle won the Rams close last week, so they're coming off quite a good game. And that was a good shout by you almost. Vin, I'm wondering, would you see being the stars of the game tomorrow, bro, in London, the Seattle and Raiders game? Do you think Marshawn Lynch will play up because of the history he's got with Pete Carroll, or do you think it'll be a Seattle win?
I'll tell you that, specifically talking about the game, I'll tell you that I'm into David Carr. I think both defenses are playing very well. I think that Carr can have a good game. I think Russell Wilson could have a good game as well. I see offense in this game. I feel like when teams get out of their element and they're away from the noise of their specific region, that they can relax a little bit, maybe play a little bit better. And I know that when you speak specifically to Marshawn Lynch, I know that did you guys hear that?
Yeah, we can hear you.
What was it?
Okay. Not that I have I have an alarm set because I have to be somewhere for work in a little bit. And
okay.
I set an alarm. But more interestingly for me, when I said Marshawn Lynch's name was when I believe in like synchronicity and everything happens for a specific reason. Maybe it's a yoga in me or something. But I play the fantasy daily lineups, and I looked at Marshawn Lynch closely because he's not a very expensive back to roster in these lineups, and Seattle has not played very well against the run, so I see him as having a good game. I hope you're wrong, Ty. I hope there's not something going on with, but you could be. And Marshawn Lynch is a little bit older. But I could see him doing well tomorrow. I could see the offense.
The reason why I say that is because you got to look at it. They just signed Gruden to a 10-year deal. Marshawn went there because he wanted to go back home. But Gruden has to look at it like, I've always been a coach that stressed the run. You know what I'm saying? And I can't pound you like that to run the ball because you're older now. And you're taken away from the game, and then you look at Derek Carr, and Derek Carr is throwing interceptions and looking questionable at the quarterback position, and he didn't look like that last year. I mean, they made a playoff run last year, and now they look terrible and only having one win, let alone they can't even play good in division play. So I think there is an issue. Derek Carr?
No, has Gruden been somebody who always – emphasize the run? I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay, let's go back. Michael Pittman and Mike Allstott. You think about the days when he was in Oakland with Garner and all those guys running the ball. They ran the ball in Tampa. Like, Brad Johnson wasn't a pure passer. I mean, Rich Gannon at that time passed the ball, but you didn't look at Gannon coming off the field with 4,000 yards passing in the season. They more or less stretched the run with Charlie Garner and Tyrone Wheatley when Wheatley left the Giants. Like, they had that there in Oakland. So they had runners that were of age to, you know, at least have 15 or 20 carries. Marshawn isn't a 20-carry running back. I'm sorry. They might try to stress it, but I don't think so.
And they knew that, dude. In the Super Bowl, it was buck ball, wasn't it? And pound the rock. That was the quotation and what he wanted to do, 100 yards for Michael Pittman in that Super Bowl. And that's what he did, and that's what he does. It's his bread and butter, the running game. I'm looking at it from going back to the game, guys, last point on it. Looking at it from a UK fan's point of view, okay? So there's people now going up to this game that I know are good Oakland Raiders fans, are good Seattle fans. This game was mentioned and given to us over here back just after the Super Bowl or just before the Super Bowl. And at that time, it was Mac. We had Mac coming over. We had the Legion of Boom. We had Richard Sherman. We had so many other things that's not there right now. So to me, it's a bit of false advertising by the NFL, and just like it's fallen through for a lot of fans. And apparently, you know, a lot of fans have decided not to go, so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of crowd they got there tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be full of other jerseys, but some disappointed fans here. Just to emphasize that point, but it should be a good game tomorrow. Great that it's over here, and I'm excited about it. Any more points you guys want to pick back up on before we move on?
No, I think we pretty much squared away on that. Hey, we'll probably be touching more on it as of tomorrow too, so we don't want to give too much of the, you know, standpoint on the game too, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, guys, I wanna switch up. This is interesting to me. Why I love more sports than I love, and this is coming back to us on a personal level again, getting to know you guys a bit, letting the listeners and sports that you get to know us a little bit. I want to talk about movies and sports. Okay, now I know you guys are fans of movies. I know you guys have got your favorite movies from different sports. I wonder if you think of like a boxing film or like a football film or any other sport that's inspired you. And one that's really stood out for you and has it changed your life? Has it had a lasting memory or a lasting feeling and motivate you at times of need? And like Rocky has done that for me, but it's not my favorite boxing movie. I believe Ali with Will Smith was the best boxing movie. Million Dollar Baby, also another great one. I just want to come to you guys and ask you about that because, film is so important in this day and age with sports, and I just want to see what you think, and have you got any special films in mind right now? Ty, I'll start with you.
Okay, I won't cheat, so I'm going to be fair to the, and he, don't take it personal, Vinny, but to the Italian in the room, so I won't take his boxing movie because I know everybody will talk about the, I don't even know whether to call it a sequel or I just call it the doggone the package. So I'll leave that alone for boxing. So the boxing movie I have is Southpaw, because Southpaw was a very good movie to me, boxing. Football movie, by far my favorite football movie is The Program. My baseball movie, it was a tie between Major League and Field of Dreams, but I'll go with Field of Dreams because I remember that movie more, and Major League just was so, you could already depict how things were going to go down. And baseball, yeah. Hockey, without a doubt, I got to go with Miracle on Ice just because of, it's a true story and everything that happened back then, just the underdog story and knowing how, coming up in life, winning championships when I was younger, they always called our team the underdog and we came out and won championships. So I looked at that situation personal more than just and that's something that did drive me. So I get to use that too as a Miracle on Ice too. And the last but not least, say the best for last because it's basketball. It's so many different basketball movies because I love basketball so much. I mean, I love football too, but by far I could still watch this movie still to this day and still get hype about it. It's a street ball movie, but it's Soul in the Hole. Even though I really wanted to say Above the Rim, but Soul in the Hole, it's a documentary. I can't even say it's a true story. It's a real cameraman from Brooklyn, and they're watching it go down, and it's an excellent movie. You got to check that out. But it's tough for me to say best athlete that's turned actor because, a lot of their careers have kind of, fell off. I could try and say Brian Bosworth being one of them because, he played a cool role in different movies, and he was in The Longest Yard as the most recent movie that I could think of is him being in The Longest Yard, too. So I'll go with Bosworth for now.
Very cool. Soul in the Hole. I make a note of that. Ty, I've never heard of that one. This is one of the reasons I wanted to do this because I know I'd be picking up some good tidbits, and that's awesome. Vin, on to you, bro. Favorite boxing film, football, maybe basketball and hockey also if you want, and just a good actor that was a professional athlete.
This is all. I mean, I have. So, in the movie genre, I like.
Am I putting you on the spot a little bit?
It's okay. It's okay. I have plenty of movies I can go to here. I'll say I like Happy Gilmore, which is a golf movie, but it's a comedy. I like for basketball. One of my favorites is White Men Can't Jump. I think that. It's hilarious. It's comedy. It's comedy as well, but pretty fun. I was a fan of Jerry Maguire. Was a good football one. My Remember the Titans was actually probably not a comedy, but that was a very good football one as well. And Caddyshack was a good one. I don't know if you guys recall. I'm sure you guys recall Caddyshack. Everyone's seen that one. Yeah, those are. I mean, obviously, you guys said Rocky was one of the best fighting movies of all time. story behind how that was made. It's incredible.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about that is, did you guys know that they just came out with a new one where Michael B. Jordan, not Michael Jordan's son, right, the actor Michael B. Jordan, is playing Apollo Creed's son, and he's going to fight the Russian.
Creed 1 is coming out, but Creed 2 is the one that's coming out in December. So you must have missed the first one. This is part 2.
I see the first one.
Okay.
Yeah, this one, he fights the Russian who killed his father's son in the ring. I think that's the plot.
Right.
Draco. Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. That was a good movie. Bull Durham was another one. There's so many of them. There's so many movies that came out that were connected to me. But my favorite, that's not a comedy, I would say Remember the Titans was a really that moved me. That got to me, that because it transcended sports. It was about something different, community, and that type of thing is resonates with me.
I know the Michael. The books, Moneyball and Blindside, both of them got big acclaim in the movie industry. I know that, and two great films. For me, Any Given Sunday, I thought was good. North Dallas 40 might be the most accurate football movie with Nick Nolte back in the day. But for me, actor was Jim Brown. I think Jim Brown was as influential as Muhammad Ali in some ways, you know, when it comes to civil rights and what he'd done on a movie set. He was the first guy to, first African-American to kiss a white woman, you know, in a film, and that was a big deal back in the day. What a man. He was in the White House with Kanye the other day. I don't know if you guys caught a bit of that. I don't know what that was all about, but I'm sure Jim Brown wasn't as impressed as anybody else. But, anybody listening, call in with your favorites, just films that, you know, motivated you, inspired you. Obviously, the Rocky films, guys, you know, we grew up with those, and yeah, more to come as well, which is great. I remember a good hockey movie, Ty, I Love Miracle, with Kurt Russell was playing Herb Brooks in that film, right, in Miracle. That was a great film, mm-hmm. So inspiring. But Youngblood also
I wanted to say Mighty Ducks, but Mighty Ducks was too kiddish, so I was like, I can't do that. So that's all I'm with Miracle.
I had exactly the same thought process, bro. I was like, I can't be saying that. It's like, you know, as good as it was.
That's not manly.
But, as we do. But guys, I got this thing I want to try out today. I get in early so I can actually put the bet on. Listeners, if you're listening in, this is how brave we are here at Sports City. We are men of, I'd say, you know, we go by our word and we stick by our guns. And we are not shy to make picks live on air and to show you how brave we are by betting. Now, we don't condone betting. We're not saying it's the right thing to do, but it gives us a bit of fun here at Sports City, doing what we're trying to do and raising some good cash for, you know, different charities also. Eventually, that's the road we're looking to go down. And, you know, we want to help people, but, you know, we need to start building. So what we're going to do today, guys, and I know you're going to enjoy this, Vin. I don't know if you had a chance to look over anything. But
I have
you
not.
Can choose.
But I – go ahead.
No, go on, bro. It's just a bit of fun. But, I mean, you can take your time with it. Anyway, and get much later in the show if you want to think about it. Think of any bet you want to do, but I'm looking at to get a pretty good odds, guys, if we keep the bets close. So I'm thinking pick a college game or a pro game or a handicap maybe. So it's like, you know, pick a 10-point spread on something. Perhaps the baseball tonight or whatever you want, really. I mean, you can do like a chicken fighting in China or Hiyalai or, you know, table tennis in Switzerland. Whatever you want, really, as long as it wins. Because that's what we want. Hey, I think we've got to pick the Bills, though, guys, the way they have been just really throwing us off. I think me and Ty have had a history of betting, and the Bills have just been there. either ruining a bet for us or winning a bet for us. So it's just been crazy. But yeah, I was thinking about it, guys. I'm thinking. I Ty, have you got anything prepared, bro?
I'm ready. I cook, but you know I'm ready. So do you want me to get? Do I have to do one of two different sports, or I could do two sports? I have it all across the board. I could do either or.
If you want to do two sports, or you can do whatever you feel best at getting the win. I mean, I'm thinking, if we start off with six between us, and then I'll do that bet, and then we'll see our listeners can follow it with us and see how we do. And because you know it's about time we put this live, because we've got a good history of winning these things. So yeah, let's have your favorites, bro. If you want to do two sports, that's fine. Or one, it's up to you.
Okay, so college football, I will go with Ole Miss up against Arkansas. They're given 6.5 on the road up against Arkansas. And
that's not a bad pick.
And in the NFL, I have two, but I'm going to go with one. It is tough to pick between the two. Oh man, you know what? Since you're there, I'm not gonna do it. So I'll go with the Panthers on the road in DC up against the Redskins. Well, they're really in Maryland, but I feel the Redskins. They're off to a thing. Scratch that. I don't want to mess with it because it's funny because it's a one. Okay, so the reason why I'm jumping between these two is because I wanted to save that London game for Rod, because I don't know if you have that as a game that you wanted to go with. So I went with the Panthers rest because it's basically a pick 'em, but the Panthers are favored by one. But it looks funny because the Redskins, you don't know what Redskins team is going to show up. You know what? I'll change it up. And watch that work out in my favor, and this might end up clipping me. I'm going to go with the Chargers on the road up against the Browns to win up in Cleveland up against the Browns.
So you're going against the Cleveland Browns. Okay, big call. I think in that I'm going to have to go with the Raiders, isn't I? I think that's the wise call. I think Marshawn Lynch in London, I think it's written on the wall. They desperately need a win. I really want to go to the Chiefs Sunday night against the Patriots, guys. I don't know what you think. Do I leave that game alone altogether? It's a thinker, because why would we want to bet against the Patriots? But it's like a four point game. I'm thinking. But I don't want it all to come back down on me, you know? So, yeah, I'm going to have to do that, guys. I'm going to go Oakland Raiders in London, and the Kansas City Chiefs in Foxborough to upset the Patriots. Vinny, anything you want to say, or do you want to take your time and look over them and get back to us later?
No, I can get into it now. I mean, these are picks. I mean, you can do as much research as you want, but to be honest, the better way to do them is the way I'm doing it right now. You kind of just look at the games, and I'll say, this looks like it's going to be a winner. Like, I'll tell you right off the bat, I looked up some college football, and I see that Georgia is going to LSU, and Georgia is laying 7 points. Give me the 7 points with LSU at home. I think that's too many points for a rivalry game like that, and I'll take LSU getting 7. NFL, looking at it real quick, I'll tell you that I really like I like Ty's thing with the Chargers to pick 'em against Cleveland, which is so interesting because Cleveland now is a pick 'em against the Chargers, who a lot of people pick them to go to the Super Bowl. That's how they've advanced. In this game, I will go with the Chargers as well. I think the Chargers are going to be able to just quick glance. And
you got to pick something different, Vinny. You can't pick the same
team. Yeah, we need six. But if you want to,
something different. Okay, give me the Patriots giving 3.5. They come.
and he picked the Chiefs. You know.
Oh, geez.
Then he won.
Okay.
This is it. This is the thing we're all crossing over each other. It's like.
Okay. Give me the Atlanta Falcons -3 at home against Tampa Bay.
So you're having the Falcons to blow them out by more than 3? Okay, guys, I'm just doing the bet. So, Ty, your first bet was Ole Miss?
Yes.
Okay, and right, I got you. Okay.
Listen. I'm shaky about that Charger game, so if you feel shaky about the Charger game, I can keep it college. And go in West Virginia. West Virginia is given 6.5 in their game, too, up against Iowa State. It's in Ames, Iowa, too, but that was the other game that I had in college football. I also have Wisconsin. I have Wisconsin getting 10 from Michigan. I think that is far too many points in a Big Ten rivalry game, and even though Wisconsin has had the edge and they've had a shaky start to this season, I think 10 is a lot. They really think that Michigan is going to blow Wisconsin out. That's interesting. So I had Wisconsin also, so.
I was thinking of that one as well. I was looking at Michigan. They're just waiting for the odds to come through on a few of the college games, so I'll delay it a little bit. But have a little think. Make sure you've got your 2 picks that you want, and then we'll do it. Now we're in the college game, guys. I'm going to stick there today. Just thoughts on the day in college football. I know some big games going on. LSU, do you think they can pull out the hat against Georgia? I know it's a good little thing I read about Amanda Holyfield, the boxer, his son. He's waiting in line behind obviously Todd Gurley when Gurley was there, and you know Nick Chubb and Sony Michel last year. He's waiting his turn. Now it's his time, and Evander Holyfield said that he always wanted to be a professional football player. He always wanted to play for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, he's Atlanta born and bred. But now his son, Mr. Foreman, good running back for Georgia. Jake Fromm is his quarterback. So he's got a passer, and he's got an opportunity. I know DeAndre Swift is an amazing running back. I'm going to be probably both of them will be drafted high, but. Just your thoughts on that, a good bloodline, and just your thoughts on the games today. Ty, start with you.
With all of the games or the Georgia-LSU games, which one do you want me to talk about?
Yeah, you can just pick a game that you like if you want and something that's interesting you. If there's anything out there
that Georgia-LSU game, that's an interesting game. No one has an SEC matchup, and LSU is coming off of a loss. And they're at home up against the number 2 ranked team. And I know they'll be up for it, especially with them already having beaten, I think, 2 or 3 top 10 teams this season. So Georgia better be awake for upset alert. Oregon at Washington, that's a very interesting game. It's supposed to be raining or cloudy, excuse me, out there, so it could be an interesting game. With Washington being ranked 7th in the nation in the Pac-12, there's only a 3.5 spread for Washington, so that could be an interesting game also. There was another game, college football, that I was worried about and seeing how this panned out. And Colorado-USC, that was another game. Colorado was undefeated on the season. They have not won in L.A. in a long time. I think it's since early 2000s time they've won in Los Angeles up against the Trojans, so that's another game that I watch, and even though that game will be taking place at 10:30 tonight, and I'll be probably ready for the boxing match tonight between Crawford and Benavidez, and knowing that I know Jose personally, so I'll be watching that fight too. But I am also going to be keeping my eye on Colorado to see if they can stay unbeaten up against USC.
Oh, that's very, very interesting, bro, and loving those games that you picked. Vin, anything on your mind with regards to college football?
I hope to see Penn State hold serve at home against Michigan State. That's always like a rivalry game. I know there are a couple of touchdown favorites, but Michigan State is a pretty decent team this year. Of course, looking at Notre Dame to keep it going, keep their BC title hopes alive against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not a bad team, but Notre Dame can easily slip up and miss one of these games. Yeah, the Georgia LSU game is going to be fun in Baton Rouge, and Georgia's one of those teams that everybody thinks is going to be a title contender to Alabama, of course, the second fiddle. But Alabama could slip up. They Clemson got them a few years ago, and other than that, there's a lot of action going on. My favorite game of the day will probably be the Notre Dame game, just because I'm a Notre Dame fan. So we'll see. Hopefully they can win. Interesting thing, little tidbit about the Evander Holyfield, Rod. I didn't know that. That's very interesting. I bet a lot of these pro athletes wish they could be cross sports guys. Sometimes they try. And you know, Bo Jackson was quasi successful. Michael Jordan, not so much. But a lot of people try Tim Tebow right now. He's failed at both sports, but he's a great guy, so that's pretty good. A lot of people want to try and play as many sports as they can. Sometimes when you're a great athlete, you just try and do is go everywhere.
Yeah, I got so much time for Tim Tebow as well. Love Redone. And you know, he was a tryer. I know he was a first-round draft pick, and, you know, he had his problems, but what inspiration of a person, I think, first and foremost. And I think they should have just let him play baseball, just let him do what he wanted to do. I mean, his football career was over, but the media still tried to attack him, I felt, and I thought it was bad. I noticed we're seeing a lot of NFL, former NFL defensive ends, in fact, going into the UFC. I know Greg Hardy has tried it out, and a couple of boys have been on, like, Dana White's Tuesday Night Brawl or whatever it is, and yeah, we've seen it in the past as well, you know, with just ex-NFL players going into the UFC and the WWE in history. You know, Lyle Alzado fought Muhammad Ali, and it's, like you said, it's definitely a crossover, and only Bo Jackson, really, Dion, really done it in baseball. Michael Jordan tried to play basketball and baseball. Looking at Allen Iverson and LeBron James, I know that they were very good football players in high school. And right now, Kyler Murray, baseball and football. So there's lots of that going on. And I don't know, guys. It's hard for a kid nowadays with the threats of CTE and the concussion protocols and, you know, the dangers that they've you know, newly found in football. If I'm Kyler Murray and his money on the table, I know Shannon Sharp would come out on Skip and Shannon show and said, you know, if Kyler Murray's got to play baseball just because of the money aspect, but you know, if you love football, then you should play football, right? I mean, it's a difficult time in you know, in sports at the moment with all this going on. I know a Welsh rugby player said that Sam Warburton, he's out with, you know, just multiple concussions, and it's starting to affect his life, you know, in ways that, you know, you never dreamt of as a kid. But he knew what he was signing up for, he said, when he started playing rugby. And just how it's affecting his life, though, is sad, you know. But they don't sign up for that. So, I mean, I don't know what the answers are. We're seeing players sue in the NFL every day, and, you know. But if you're in college now, what would you do? You know, given the choice, or if you had children, you know, in college, would you sort of shy away from the NFL with them, or would you allow them to play and just go for it? I don't know. I think I go for the. I just let them go for it because you never know, right? I mean, that's my opinion on it. I don't think, you know, we're gonna stop football from being played. So. As long as this, you know, these rules are coming in now and making it safer, but I'm not sure I'm happy about that either at the moment. So it's just kind of up in the air. Any thoughts on that, guys?
I would let it be my kid's choice if they wanted to play or not. But ultimately, nobody wants their kid, their children who they love and raise to have potential at significant injury or head trauma. I know that football is doing the best they can to try and limit this, but at least we know what we're getting into with the football. You know what you're signing up for, so that's the best bet. But yeah, more and more parents are going to go away from the hard combat sports. They don't want their kids in it. They want their kids playing soccer. You can see that's really becoming more and more popular. More and more baseball, basketball, because it's the repercussions of constant hitting, hits. It's worse than UFC fighting. It's so crazy because it's I wouldn't if I had children, which I don't, that I know of, I would not want them to play football. Unless you're a kicker. They could be a kicker.
Yeah. I'll say now, mind it. The way the kickers are performing in the NFL right now is they probably have worse headaches than linebackers. But Ty, what's your thoughts, bro? Anything about the concussion aspect would deter you from allowing your children, or you know, maybe you going back? Would you pick the ball up now?
Steve from the Minnesota Vikings, San Diego, he said he wore a hat like referencing to, you know, the Make America Great hat, and the hat said "Make football violent again." You know, these players know what they're signing up for. These are million-dollar athletes. Okay, now if my child had the speed or athletic ability to go out there and make a difference for a team, let alone to financially situate the family, by all means, go out there and do it. You know what you're signing up for if your heart is in it. I'm not going to sit up here and hold you back and be like, okay, don't do it because I don't want you to do it and I'm taking away from your dream. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm looking out for your well-being, even though that's what a parent would do. You know what I'm saying? But if that's something that the child wants to do, then by all means, go out there and do it. You got to think about the world today, man. And looking at football right now, too, they pick and choose on the rules that they're doing. Like, I watched the game Sunday where they drove a quarterback into the ground. They didn't call it. I watched the sack happen to Eli on Thursday. They drove Eli into the ground, four players, and they didn't call it. It's like they're picking and choosing the situation. If it's a third and 18 and it helps the team out, they'll call roughing the passer and give the team the first down just to make the game, I guess, have its aura to it or just to heighten the tenseness of the game. Like, it's funny how the refs are going with these rules. It's ridiculous that this is – I understand that they are trying to be aware of CTE and concussions and things of that nature, but this is a part of the sport. Picture the athletes of the 70s and the 60s or the 50s when they had the leather helmets, and these guys are clotheslining each other, no teeth in their mouths and stuff like that. Like, come on, like, they're probably looking at this, you know, rolling in their graves, or like, this isn't football anymore. Like, all of the players that are in the league now, they learn this from Pop Warner on how to attack the ball and make the correct tackle, so on and so forth. How are they not supposed to bring the person to the ground without going to the ground with them? Like, if he stays up, that's a guy that runs a 4.3 40 and could get to the house now, and they're paying him $1 million to get to the house now. Like, I don't get it. Like, that's insane. Like, I truly think this. This rule will be around for this year only. They're going to have so much backlash after this season that they have to go back. They have to. They can't continue to try to make this thing. If so, they're going to really have to play two-hand touch or play flag football, because they're going to be players and teams getting penalties and costing them games. This is going to take away from the NFL, and the viewership will go down as it is already with all of the kneeling and melee that everybody's following around Colin Kaepernick.
Well, this is where I wanted to go with it next. I know, like, just the inconsistencies and how difficult it must be for a referee to ref it, you know. I know Michael Bennett was flagged again. I mean, he was flagged last week against Minnesota on a sack and just put his body weight on the quarterback and was flagged. But I saw a hit on Wendell Smallwood. I think it was back-to-back, helmet-to-helmet hits on him, right? And it was like he was running up the middle and the linebacker just come and cleaned his clock. You know, leveled him, and no flag, wasn't called. I saw another one, another safety hit under the chin, you know, helmet to helmet, wasn't called. But it's just completely unbalanced, just protecting the quarterbacks, and it's not good enough. But I wanted to bring up the point, guys, we was talking about it Wednesday, just before we went off air, about Odell, and how disappointed I was with him again on Thursday night. Walking out on Eli Manning and his team just before halftime with one play left. And the ball was, you know, it was obviously designed to go to him. He leaves the stadium, walks into the locker room. I mean, I won't be able to deal with that. He's ranting and raving on the sideline again. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know where it's going to go. But just your thoughts and update on that. What were you thinking of Odell right now? Are you fed up with him? Are you fed up with the old saga? And do you think he knew that Thursday night football was coming up with a national audience? Do you think he knew and made those statements knowing that he was going to be the talk of the town coming into Thursday night? Ty?
I really think that they all listen to us. I really do think they listen to us. We just had a show last week, I think Wednesday, not even this past Wednesday, but the week before, and I brought up the topic of Peyton and Eli and saying, you know, just to give the thought of Eli with what he was able to do with the pieces that he had in front of him. Now Eli looks like the talk of New York right now, and everybody, every company, every network is talking about Eli is finished. And it's like, damn, I brought a topic up and was up here giving Eli a little leg up, even though I don't like him, but I have to give him some credit with what he was able to do. Eli is not trying to pass that ball more than 25 yards. He's not. The opportunities are there. Especially, I understand where Odell's coming from. Who are we supposed to frustrate that to? The coaches? Talk to his wide receiver coach. The wide receiver coach go back to Shermer and say, well, Odell's mad, or does he scream and show his frustration or whatever, whether it's the bench or the fan or whatever he's going after, the kicking net and so on and so forth. Like, I understand his frustration because, shoot, I'm one of those emotional players. Like, I want to make a difference in the game too. You didn't just dump a whole bunch of money into me for me not to get the ball. And then when he tried to force him the ball, the defense like, oh, they're going to Odell. It's two or three people here. Odell is like 5'10". He's not 6'5", 6'6", let alone he wants to go up and make that play because he can catch the ball with his fingertips in front of traffic. Like, he's trying to do everything. He even trying to go back there and return punts. So you mean to tell me the face of the organization is returning punts? Like, he's trying to do whatever he can. Like, people are overlooking the fact of what Odell is trying to do for this team. If people are sitting up here mad at what Odell's the emotion that he's showing for this team and trying to do everything for the team, then get rid of him. Send him to Detroit, Michigan, and I would love every last bit of it. I sure enough would. Look, here go the crazy part about it, right? Everybody uproaring, oh, it was 13 seconds on the clock, and he went to the locker room. Okay, so let's look at this. Eli is not passing the ball 25 yards down the field, right? So he's dinking and dunking the ball. So what is all that supposed to do? You want him to get his teeth knocked out? Because those linebackers are going to wait for Eli to throw him a slant and knock him out of the game, one. And two, I didn't even know that this was a situation that happens to Odell. Odell, ever since he started his NFL career, battles with cramps. So he goes into the locker room and gets an IV to get fluid in his body. So instead of him risking any injury, knowing that Eli hasn't even passed the ball downfield all game long, he's not going to do it now. Let me go my tail in the locker room. Y'all can put the wide receiver in that comes in for me. And let them nail the clock out because Eli wasn't able to do anything in the first half. The first two plays was a run, and then he threw a pick. He threw a pick. Like I don't know, man. I don't know. It is frustrating to see it. It's frustrating to see Odell blow up on the sideline, but I understand where he's coming from. I totally understand where he's coming from. Get him a quarterback that could get him the damn ball.
A point I made Thursday as well, Ty, Vin, was the Saquon Barkley factor, and we saw him just take off again Thursday night. Amazing, amazing game. Vin, do you think there's a bit of jealousy there with him? Do you think he's worried that Saquon's taking over the team?
I don't think he's worried. I think, like we talked about on Wednesday, he's a diva receiver. Diva receivers are out there. I agree with everything you said, Ty. I think he is doing everything he can to help the team win, and he does want to win. But I think for him, the emphasis is more on the eye and him being the center of attention of the team. That I think that plays into why he wants to be a punt returner and do all these other things on the field. I don't think he's I'm not saying he doesn't have the heart or doesn't want to win. I think that he does, but I think he wants to be a superstar more than anything else. I don't think that winning and the team is not, no matter what he says, I don't think that winning and the team is number one. I think the brand, the Odell Beckham brand, is number one for him. I think that the ego is bigger than the whole for Odell Beckham Jr. And as a Giant fan, I'll tell you the truth. And I usually don't say this because I'm a believer in when you have talent, harness it, hold on to it, and do the best you can to watch it blow up. Look at the Khalil Mack thing. We had the show. Remember? And I came on it and I said that Khalil Mack was a great trade for the Bears, great trade. And everybody else on the show had said, no way, well, that's ridiculous. Why would they do that? The Bears don't have a good team. That's blah, blah, blah. And look at how it's transpired in six weeks. The Bears are now a playoff team. They're one of the best defenses in football. And now I want to go back. This is what you said, Ty, about the going back to the show. It's, I want some of these people to come back on. I want to say to them, hey, you told me we got into a debate about the Khalil Mack trade, and you said it wasn't good because they don't have enough pieces in Chicago. Maybe they don't, but they're a lot better team. He's transformed that team. Now that's why I want to hold on to Odell. I would want to keep him because he's that talented. But sometimes it's just not worth it. With if you're that much of a headache, you got to really weigh the pros and cons. And if you have players like Saquon, who is the face of the team, and you got Shepard, Ingram, who are coming up, and they're offensive players as well. You got some great quarterbacks that are coming out this year. The Giants are looking like they're going to be a top. They're going to have a top pick in the draft. Trade Odell. See if you can get a couple number one picks, number one or number two or something, and really rebuild this team because we're not going to win a Super Bowl with another Super Bowl with Eli Manning. I'd be very surprised if the Giants could piece together another Super Bowl because they're just not there. It's just I'm not talking with my heart. I'm just talking as a subjective fan. As a football fan, I can tell you that they're not gonna be able to win. And if you can't win, you're gonna have to have a new quarterback come in. Sure, you have Odell, that's great, but I say if you could find a trade partner and get a couple high picks, first round, second round, maybe a couple first round picks, I would explore that option if I were the Giants.
Wait, hold on, Roger. Vinny, you are okay. Out. Of your mind if you think they need to trade Odell. I was saying that to be funny. What? Okay, so Eli's going to be gone in like
why
2-3 years.
Why is that out of my mind now?
Okay, so who are they left with if Odell leaves?
Look, receivers don't win Super Bowls. Receivers are like running backs. Like they're very interchangeable. You found Alvin Kamara in the third round. You get David Johnson second round. These Nick Chubb, like sure these running like receivers are very similar. They kind of will come there. You find them, and some of them are great, and some of them are pretty decent. Some of them are transcendent. In football, I'm under the opinion you need a edge pass rusher, shutdown corner, left tackle, quarterback. Quarterback being the most important, and maybe the edge rusher. Positions like running back, receiver, tight end, linebacker, even like these are somewhat interchangeable, and you can find other pieces. So if you have somebody who's somewhat of a headache, doesn't seem happy. I don't know. I don't like the whole me attitude of Odell. He doesn't seem like he's 100% for the team, and
Vinny, I'll say this. This is what I say, Vinny. He broke his ankle because he was trying to do everything he could last year, and that team went damn 3-13 last year without Odell Beckham.
He broke his ankle because he got tackled on his ankle. It was unfortunate.
Yeah, but his ankle was already messed up from preseason. They were forcing him the ball and telling him to play when he was telling them that this was an 8-week healing process, and he still was out there giving them his all. They not even giving them proper time to heal. And all the positions that you named, from quarterback to tackle to edge rusher to cornerback, they don't have any of them. Even Jackrabbit. If you see how Janoris Jenkins is getting beat, that team looks like they're giving up again. This is the same Giants team from last year when they played the damn Rams and they gave up in the middle of the game and gave up 50-plus points against the Rams at home. This is the same team that gave up again last Thursday when they just let the Eagles walk up and down the field on them. This is bigger than Odell. Believe me, if you think getting rid of Odell and being stuck with Sterling Shepard and the other pieces, Ingram, without Odell is going to help the Giants, good luck. I'm glad that you think that that's going to happen. And plus all of the money they dumped into them. I don't know what team is going to take that on.
This is true, but the reason why I think it would help them, look at the classic example. Look at Cleveland. They have Ward, the shutdown corner. They have Garrett, who's on the line, and he's in the backfield. He's creating havoc. I'm sure they were in different drafts, but these are young players that they drafted and they hit on, and they really changed the whole. They changed the whole team, and that's what I'm looking for. So if you do trade Odell, what I'm saying is you get a couple of really high picks, and with those picks you might not hit a home run. You might not draft somebody who turns into Khalil Mack, but maybe you do, and maybe you do get, if you have a top 10 pick, you could really get a quarterback or somebody that's a difference maker. And you can find, I just think you can find another receiver to complement what you already have with a new quarterback to grow with. I mean, even look at Houston. They got the guy Kiki, Kiki Koutou, who's coming up now. He's coming up, yeah. He seems like a player. I just think that these receivers, they're while he seems great and the one-handed catches are awesome and he's flashy and fast and he can take a five-yard slant to the house, any day he can. And I'm going to say a huge but, there's just a lot of other athletes, a lot of other receivers that are in college right now that can do this, a similar type player.
No, they're not.
Maybe not.
I'll give you, exactly. You just said just like what he could do. I'll give you the whole country of the United States to find four Odell Beckhams that can run a 4-3, that can challenge the ball up against tall or small corners, and they're still in trouble, and he's the top three receiver in the game. I don't care how many people don't like him. If you don't think Odell is the top three receiver between Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, I'd love to debate it. He's a top three talent at his position. You can't get rid of a top three talent at his position.
I'd say top five. I put DeAndre Hopkins at the moment. I think DeAndre Hopkins, Julio, and maybe,
okay.
Yeah, I'd say,
they're both,
I'd say
off to
four.
They're both off to the same start. Roger, they're both off to the same start. The Texans don't look good right now. They don't. And they haven't looked good. They haven't looked good since DeAndre's been there.
Well,
he's doing the same stuff Odell's doing. They're flashy on the field, but they aren't winning. And then you have to look outside of the receiver, because I can't even put this on DeAndre Hopkins, because it's the defense. They all think that J.J. Watt is going to get to the quarterback, and if he's getting double-teamed, that defense looks flat as hell. They look flat as hell, that Texas team. They should not be off to the start that they're on after the start that they had last year, and they watch all of these people get hurt last year, and they're doing the same stuff again this year. Like I said, it's between Julio, Odell, and A.B. at the top.
What about Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas is better than Odell?
I mean, the system, Michael Thomas.
What's the discrepancy?
I didn't say there's any discrepancy, but do you think he's better than Odell Beckham? You really think he is?
What about Mike Evans?
Guys, you got to look at AJ Green.
I'm asking you these questions. These guys are not better than him because he got paid that contract. He just got that contract. You're not going to give it to some regular receiver.
I don't give a damn about how much money you're making. I don't care about how much money you're making.
Right. You don't, but they do. They're a billion-dollar organization. You think they're just going to do this just to do this? The Giants got money. Like they're not going to just say, oh, here, Odell, after you just came back from a – after he just broke his ankle last year, they gave him that money after that break, after he broke
that's
it.
That's fine. The point I'm trying to make, and I'll go with you next, Rodney. I apologize because this is a heated discussion and I'm having fun with it. But the point I'm trying to make is these receivers that I'm mentioning, Diggs, Thielen, Mike Evans, Michael Thomas, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, these are just to name a few. They're on Juju Smith-Schuster. They're on that. They're really on that upper echelon, like one type receiver. And I'm not going to say Odell's not better than them. Maybe he is a little bit a step faster. Maybe he is, sure, very close to these guys. All different skill sets. Some of them are a little bit taller, whatever. The point is that they're. It's not that huge of a discrepancy, and there's a lot. There's not just five of them. There's like 15 that we can name that are. Oh, these are pretty good receivers. This guy's pretty good. Calvin Ridley just came out. He's now on. He's having a tremendous year. Julio Jones. We haven't even mentioned him. Transcendent. Huge. Fast.
I mentioned Julio Jones. I put him in the top three. Wait, hold on. Listen, those receivers that you mentioned, I'm not saying that they are not great or awesome. These guys are good receivers, but you got to look at the fact that this is something that Odell has been singing since last year, that Eli's not trying to get this ball downfield. If he can't make a play outside of the, you know, the 10 to 20-yard region, the defense is waiting for him. All they got to do is give him bubble coverage, get off of him, and make sure he can't just get past them, and it's all in front of him. They can play prevent defense and hurt Odell. They can hurt this dude's legs is everything.
Okay.
Like you got to think about this. If he's in on a team that's giving him a chance, okay, let me be unfair. Let me be real nasty and unfair. Put Odell in New England. What the hell do you think going to happen?
Well, yeah, I mean,
I don't think
you can question his talent, right? This is the problem. He's unquestionably talented. I mean, he has all the talent in the world, which is great. It's what he does mentally for the team. It's like what he does mentally to his quarterback. No, he wouldn't do that to Tom Brady. He wouldn't, because he'd be happy. I'd imagine Tom Brady be getting him the ball, and he'd be making a one-handed catch.
Exactly.
This is why he's acting the way he is. I mean, he's not getting AB balls. He's not getting Julio Jones passes and having the space that they are having. He hasn't got that great receiver opposite him. He's now got a running back and a running game. That's taking the limelight off him, I feel, and he's just going crazy about it. Jealousy and all that. I mean, if you watch Saquon Barkley's touchdown from last week or the week before, the week before last, he goes to celebrate with Saquon, right? Odell goes to celebrate with Saquon. Saquon didn't want to know about it because I think they were behind at the time. So they was like, and he was unhappy about it. It's like there's something in him. This was going to be my question to you, Ty, not much if we got time. Well, you know, a guy like Marvin Harrison, right? A guy like Calvin Johnson wouldn't say nothing. You know, they're just quiet guys. Even when they was getting triple coverage and just not happy, but they wouldn't blurt out, you know, because they understood that the problems it causes in the locker room. And I think when you're branded like that, I don't know if it's a maturity thing with him. I think it might be a little bit of that. I see a little bit of it in Jarvis Landry as well. So it could be the LSU factor. I think a couple of receivers have come out there. They got this obsession of catching with one hand. And it's like, catch the ball with two hands. You've got the opportunity to catch it with two hands, but you just try to catch it with one. I mean, I just don't get that mentality. It's like it's showboating a little bit. And, you know, the way he was acting just before halftime and after, it's not good enough. And I mean, I don't think it's talent, guys. I don't think we can question that. He's obviously very, very, very talented. But it's like, it's what he does mentally. That's the problem for me. But yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You got to weigh that. You weigh what he does on the field, the football part of it. And I'm not saying anything negative about the football, Odell. What he does on the field, nothing negative. But what comes with that, how is that going to affect the team? That's how is it gonna? It's the whole I me type of attitude doesn't work in professional football. It just doesn't work. It's a team game.
I want to say this. Like my father pointed this out to me. God rest his soul. You know, when Mike Tyson was going through this situation, when Mike Tyson was knocking everybody out in the 80s, Mike Tyson was an uncontrolled beast. He got into the 90s after he got out of jail and he came back. They started giving him antidepressants and having him fight. How do you have him go out there and fight when he's already uncontrollable and that's what he's going out there to do, to knock their heads off? And meanwhile, if Mike Tyson went out there and knocked dudes' heads off, He was the first one to go over there and try to pick him up. And he's like, yo, are you okay? Are you okay? That wasn't the old Mike Tyson. And then Mike started losing fights left and right. Mike Tyson ended up his career with like 8 or 9 losses after he lost twice to Evander Holyfield. And like, it just started spiraling downward because they, I guess more or less they try to mentally control him or get him to control his anger while he's going out there. Like, that's not what you want. If it takes him to get himself up, rowdy, however it takes him to get up to make plays in the game, whether it's Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham being best friends, and this is what it took for them at LSU to make their careers gold, and that's what it's going to take to get it to work. Like I said, and I'm glad that we're on this show right now, in this situation right now, because my favorite movie of all time, Football, was The Program, and a situation in that movie was Latimer. I don't know if y'all ever watched the movie
That's
Program,
right.
But Latimer, when Latimer got pumped up, you did not want to you didn't want to mess with Latimer in that damn game, because Latimer was going to take somebody's head off. When they told Latimer to calm down, it told him to start playing regular football. He got trucked, ran over in the end zone, and they scored a touchdown on him. He went and got back into that doggone weight room, got all juiced up, and had got pumped up again. It was over for dudes again. Like if it takes that for you to get out there and do what you need to do to be the multi-million dollar talent to go and make a difference with his team, then go do what you got to damn do. I'm not worried about what he do on the sideline. Listen, what teammate do you hear coming out to speak against Odell? As a matter of fact, or the coaches, because Sherman said that the locker room handled it. Last year, McAdoo was like, it's taken care of. All of them are saying the same thing. Odell's not a bad guy. All of them are saying it. All of them. It's what you see as a fan on the sideline that frustrates you. But the rest of the team ain't saying it. And let alone Eli, okay, it's just like Rafi hit on a little while ago on the quarterbacks. Let's look at the quarterbacks for A.J. Green. Let's look at the quarterback for Antonio Brown. Let's look at the quarterback for Julio Jones. Let's look at the quarterback for DeAndre Hopkins. All of these quarterbacks are able to throw the deep ball. You can think of a Houston Texans game and Deshaun Watson backed up and threw a 40-yard bomb. Or look at Brady. He threw a pass deep to Gronk and force-feed these guys. You can't think of when Eli dropped back and threw a bomb. I'll sit back and wait. I'll wait for you to tell me when Eli sat back and threw a bomb.
I don't think Eli's tight. I don't think Eli had the protection to be able to do that. He hasn't had an offensive line.
You don't even have an offensive line with that to happen.
The problem with Eli, right, and I think a change will do him so good. He needs to get out of town. He needs to go somewhere else. And I promise you, he potentially could have a Kurt Warner, Joe Montana, when he finished his career, when Kurt Warner finished his season, career, when Brett Favre went away, he went to a different team, you know, he went to the Vikings and the Jets and played well, and Montana went to the Chiefs and played well. You know, went to, like, and I think Eli's capable of doing that if he can get protected and just be happy in the situation. I don't think we can knock Eli too much. I mean, that's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but definitely ages sort of caught up with him a bit. But I don't think it's as bad as that. I think it's just his offensive line hasn't been protecting him. Sorry, Vin, going crack on up.
No, you're 100% right. I think Eli just doesn't have time to move. He's just immobile out there, and for him to move, go to a different team, it sure will help out. On the Odell thing, yeah, you're right, 100% right, Ty. We don't know there's no way we can really know what's going on in the locker room with the players and coaches really think of Odell. The only thing we have as fans is information that was given to us just from Odell and his actions as a Giant in his few years that he's been here. And I'm sorry, when you're in the playoffs and you have a playoff game on Sunday or Saturday and that week you're a couple of days before you're partying on a boat, and it's sure, it doesn't look good, but it's just like, from my perspective, sure, maybe Eli and the guys in the locker room were like, oh, it's okay, he can go party as long as he's here on Sunday. Sure.
That year when that happened, they had the bye week because they might have been the second seed, so they had the time to get off. Do you know every team that does that has that bye week off before the playoffs, they all go somewhere and take a vacation before the playoffs start? Do you know that year when Dallas went 13-3?
Yeah,
I think
Tony
that
Romo.
Was. Tony Romo took them all to Mexico. He took the whole Cowboys team to Mexico. So just because y'all want to paint this badass picture around Odell, it's not right, man. That's not right because other teams do it. And it's not all based on Odell. Odell has some jobs, but you got to think about the rest of that team didn't perform too, and they were in Green Bay. And they were in Green Bay like that. That's an uphill battle too. Like this, everything was against them, and they didn't have a running game. And they forced
Eli
to pass the ball.
Doing an interview with Little Wayne. Doing an interview with Little Wayne.
And great. And I'm glad you brought that up. Look. He even said in the interview when Josina said, she said, "How do you feel about Eli?" And then he was like, "Well, we all know he's not gonna move. He won't move." So if he's not going to move and the offensive line is blocking for him, guess what that sets up? That's a recipe for him getting sacked every damn time he call Ike. Every time he say Ike, he's going to get sacked. How many times did he get sacked against Fletcher Cox and them? They had a play where it was – listen, this is bad right here. I want you to know this, Vinny. There was a play in that game where Eli got sacked and it was four people on him. How do you get four people to beat the offensive line? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous that there's four people back there to go get him.
There's no protection. And not just that. If this is the 70 Steelers, right, and a receiver's making the comments that Odell Beckham's making, he's getting strung up and he's getting roughed up in the locker room. There's no doubt. There's nobody on the Giants team that will do that. That's what he needs. He needs somebody to grab hold of him. We saw it with Landon Collins last year, Landon Collins and Eli Apple, even though they were having their moment. So there's something in that
Giants
locker room.
They were going at it,
Something in that Giants locker room, guys. I there's no actual, there's no offensive lineman. You know, that's usually where it comes from, like a Taylor Lewan type of guy to grab hold of somebody and to tell him that they're doing wrong.
Roddy, listen to this. Everybody was picking on Flowers, right? Flowers got a job in like 3 days, right? He got a job in 3 days, and guess what? The backup tackle is worse than him. The backup tackle is worse than Flowers. So
Chad Wheeler, he's terrible. I mean,
what they're going through right now. If Flowers was horrible, we're screaming he horrible. They put the backup in, and he can't block nobody, let alone Nate Solder. No. Like I told y'all at the beginning of the season, a lot of people came to the kitchen was high on Nate Solder and saying Nate Solder, oh, he came from New England. He's a good blocker. You see how Nate Solder looking at that game? He can't block. I'm trying to tell you. Listen, it's not as advertised with Nate Solder. And then he tried to come up with a lame-ass injury at the end of the game, and then ran upfield and the clock ran out. They was waiting for him to get to the line of game ending. Like come on, like, listen, it's bigger than Odell. It's bigger than Odell. They need to stop focusing on the immediate because he's the one pissed off. That's like you, Vinny, that's like you in the middle of yoga and you telling somebody to work a perfect stretch that everybody is getting, but this one person can't get the stretch. And you pissed off and you can't show your position. But Hold on. You go back into the locker room and start punching the locker, but they got a camera looking dead at you in your face, on your side, looking at the temples, looking at the top of your head, and you like, damn, everywhere I go is a camera, and let alone the establishment is paying me $13 million a year to get these people right, and this dude ain't getting it right, you're going to be pissed off, too. You're going to be pissed off, too.
100%. I agree with you. You know what? I agree with what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying about him, his reason for being upset and being very flamboyant and out there and vocal. Sure, that's his personality. That's what he does. What I'm getting at is, and you alluded to this as well, I think you did too, Rod, is that the Giants have a plethora of problems. They got a lot of them. And you know, the line stinks. Defensively, it's like they have one player here, one player there, but something just isn't right with the New York Giants right now, and they have to fix these issues. They have to address these issues, and in the same way, I remember when we talked about this on the show.
Yeah,
I remember we talked with the Khalil Mack thing. Everyone's like, oh, the Bears have too many holes. But in the same way, the Giants have so many holes that need to be addressed, and a way to address them is you have a diamond that you could really get a lot for. You can get a lot for it. And if you get two or three high picks that can really change your team. It really can. You could look at the line. You could help out your defense. Maybe get a stud young corner. And what do you do with receivers? I mean, they're even Odell and Jarvis Landry, like how much better is Odell? I mean, they're very outspoken, but never like football, just only football skills. Only talking football skills. I just think that the my only point that I'm making is that when you have to find a talented receiver that can do it all, do very well for you on the field, it's not as hard as we make it to to be. We put Odell on this pedestal like he's the greatest ever, but there's a lot of other receivers. And receivers do – this is the most important. Wide receivers do not win Super Bowls. No, they don't. So it's
the thing is, right, Ben, with Odell is the excitement factor as well. He sells globally as a business. You know, that one-handed catch against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football a few years ago, that was him welcoming him to the world. That went viral on YouTube. Everybody was not even a football fan. They want to watch Odell Beckham because of stuff like that. And this just carried on over into his personality. And it's, you know, that's what it is with him. There's no worse feeling, right? And no worse game than they could have had playing the Eagles on Thursday night. The matchup was terrible. I mean, the Eagles' defensive line, I said it before the game, that would be the biggest in the trenches, and Fletcher Cox was just walking through the guard. He was just walking through people. And, you know, it was just like going straight through the guards. And you watch him, right? You watch a replay. You watch the last few games. And the last few plays, sorry. And they were all lining up on the left side because, like, on the right side, because the left side was the only place I could block. The right side, they were just walking straight through. It was a bad, bad matchup, and we've seen the aftermath of it. And, it's not good. It's just not good for him in Dallas, in New York right now. And, you know, like I said, he knows his value, though, and he knows his value with endorsements. He sells. I mean, he's just out there on his own, though. That's the problem. But a great talent, like just to sum it up. But go on, guys, if you want to keep talking about this.
We can wrap it up. Like I said, we could talk about this for hours. It is frustrating that to me,
yeah,
that they love to point the finger at, just to say, for instance, is Odell. They like to point the finger at Odell, but they don't look at the entirety of the whole situation. His quarterback isn't getting protected. His quarterback won't move. But yeah, they see him frustrated because he's not getting the ball, and he can't get the ball in places where he can be productive. That's what kills me, because it's like you paid him money to be productive, and he can't even get out there and do what he wants to do. He even tried to go out there and return punts. He had to return punts since his second year in the league. Like they not even being like they got to be fair. Like they got to be fair. But and I feel bad because I'm talking good for the Giants. Like who am I? Like I don't feel like I need to be talking good about the Giants when I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It makes you change your mind on things. Go on, guys. Give me your closeouts, and then if you can after the show, message me straight away with those picks again, because the college lines out now. So closeouts and.
Well, this is a great show. Very heated debate. I hope the Giants fix their situation. It's hard to watch my sport teams when. Listen, I'm a Giants, Mets, and Knicks fan. So how am I doing? But I still enjoy watching the sports. I still enjoy talking about them. There's a lot that we can discuss, and I think that everybody has good arguments on both ends. And I hope that the Giants can right this ship with Odell on it. Sure, let's see if we can do it. I don't see that happening. I'm gonna close it out with that. The Giants have to figure out a way to get a surplus of picks here and kind of, sad to say, but start rebuilding. And looking forward to the show tomorrow, guys. Always a pleasure. Great, great talking to you. I love you guys, and have a great Saturday, okay?
Take it easy, Vin. Love you, bro. Great show, bro. Good arguments.
Thank you.
Ty, do you want to go, bro, or do you want me to go?
Yeah, Sports City, check out the website, the interview, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back tomorrow for the brunch. Like I said, this was a good debate, and I just had to get that out because it's just crazy that they like to point fingers, but they're not looking at the whole picture. And that happens in life, man. They do that to individuals that they love to create drama around, man, regardless. And just know that there's always somebody watching you, man. There's a lot of people that like to tear good people down, man. If you really think that Odell isn't a good person, but everybody speaks good tone about him outside of the organization, just do an adjustment. Check it out. Search further than the surface. Read the book instead of watching the cover of the book. On that note, timeless.
Yeah, bro, I agree. And, you know, there's always more to it than what we see. Definitely agree with that. And yeah, you gotta do the research. I just want to give a shout out a friend of mine, Carl Bowman, Talk America, American Talk. It's about muscle cars in America. Check it out on YouTube. American Talk, talk as in talk like the car. And so check that out. I just want to say thanks for letting me do this again as a host. I'm starting to enjoy this more and more every week. Loving what we're doing. Can't wait for tomorrow. And yeah, guys, we tell a friend to tell a friend that it is the chefs again. And if you don't know, now you know.